Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on BREADBOX Media. I'm your host, Pete Sopcich, Catholic book blogger. Today we have with us Kathleen Beckman. She's the president of the Foundation of Prayer for Priests. She has served the church for 25 years as an international Catholic evangelist, author, Ignatian retreat director, radio host, and is often featured on EWTN TV and radio. For over a decade, Kathleen has served on the diocesan exorcist team and is the administrator of her diocese's exorcism and deliverance ministry. She completed the Association of International Exorcists Rome course, Exorcism and Prayers of Liberation, and for 6 years was an exorcism case study facilitator at the Pope Leo XIII Institute, the school that trains clergy for exorcism ministry. In 2001, Kathleen was invested into the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem. She sits on the advisory boards of the Pope Leo XIII Institute and Magnificat, a ministry to Catholic women. Sophia Institute Press published her last three books, Praying for Priests, God's Healing Mercy, When Women Pray. A wife, mother, and grandmother, Kathleen lives her family in Orange, California. Today we'll be discussing her latest book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing. Welcome back to the show, Kathleen.
Well, thank you, Pete. I'm honored to be with you today.
So, as we have discussed off-air, great book. And I guess to start off our conversation today, why did you write this book and why is it important to us during these times?
I wrote the book. I was compelled to write the book just because I have personally been blessed to serve in the deliverance ministry and exorcism, deliverance healing and exorcism ministry. And to visit with people in 13 different countries to hear their stories, their particular prayer intentions for their family members, and the way that they felt that they were under spiritual attack. So I was compelled to write it as, you know, giving away the gift that I have received, because I think there was a real need to focus on what is going on in the domestic church. And I am well aware, because of, you know, the ministry that I've seen and the formation that I've had, I'm well aware of how the enemy comes against husbands and wives in marriage and also against children and siblings and extended family members. So there's a lot, I think, that can be learned to protect the family from becoming vulnerable to demonic attacks.
Right, for sure. And early in the book, you talk about, you know, the first step of that, and that's the discernment of spirits. And you also cover St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises. How can they help us with this very critical task of discerning of spirits?
Well, because, I'm an Ignatian-trained retreat director, and I personally was led through the Ignatian exercises by a priest that specializes in them, and they were transformative for me. As I mentioned in the book, I really encourage people to rely on the Holy Spirit, and I think that's the genius of St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises, that he has us learn to discern, that is, to distinguish between what spirit is operative. There are three spirits that could be operative in any situation, in any moment, interiorly or exteriorly, and those are the human spirit, which is most of the time, and then the Holy Spirit, which we want to pray very proactively for the infusion of the Holy Spirit so that we can move with the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, the demonic spirit. And so with an eye toward those spirits in the family, it really does help us to see what is going on in the domestic church, in our relationships. And so there's a beautiful quote that, I appreciated the quote that was from C.S. Lewis's book, The Classic Screwtape Letters, in which he speaks to, well, Screwtape, you know, the demon that's training the lower demon, mentions how to cause people, in this case it was a mother and a son, to have an irritation toward one another. Just by giving, inspiring an aversion to a particular face that the mother would make for the son. This is very practical. We see this happening all the time. And by knowing these kinds of examples, we can see, well, is this just the human spirit? Is it just me and my husband, you know, arguing here? Or is there something that's amped up, something that's being exacerbated by a spirit that is not of the Holy Spirit? So I think the discernment of spirits are foundational.
So before we get too far down a path here today, I think we need to discuss this. And we have pretty much established that evil spirits are very real, and they can and will infiltrate your family if we allow them to. What are some common avenues for this to happen?
Well, the main doorway is sin. And when we consider that we are all sinners, you know, then we realize that every time that we choose something other than God, that we fall into sin. In the book, I give the analogy that it's almost like an aroma that comes from that sin, in which evil spirits are attracted to that. So, you know, that since we all sin, the provision that God has made in his church is for us to have recourse frequently to the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can stay reconciled with God and the church and our brothers and sisters. So I think sin is the number one doorway that we see in this ministry, so, and we can all appreciate that because we fall all the time. And so then, you know, what I mentioned in the book is religious syncretism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a lot of mixture in today's culture where you have cultural spiritualities that may, in fact, be New Agey or some other religion than Catholicism. And Catholics frequently try to blend those two spiritualities, and that can be an open door for the enemy to get in. So religious, you know, syncretism.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the entry into the occult, even with things which the world would say is benign and like game playing, you know, when you start to be curious about your future and go to fortune tellers or enlist, you know, witches or something like that for curses. Now, this may sound, you know, this is outside something that is prevalent today, but in fact, young people are very much attracted to these types of things. Some of them, probably most of them, very naively, but it does open up a door for the enemy to come in to the domestic church via those avenues. Those are some of the ways that, another prevalent way is the use of pornography,
mm-hmm.
The breaking of the Ten Commandments, but in particularly, pornography's use is something that is growing not only among males, but with females, not only with young people, but with elderly people. We hear this from clergy. So this is an avenue that is you know, particularly pleasing, if you will, to evil spirits.
So let's say this happens to a family. What are some of the first steps they can take to remedy the situation? And, you know, is there things they can do themselves, or do they immediately go for help?
And this is one of the reasons I wrote the book, Pete, was that there's so much that absolutely should be done with the spiritual authority that we have through our baptism and confirmation. I want to encourage parents and spouses, because the parents have a very real spiritual authority, a parental authority over their children. So the first thing is, if some family member, you know, senses that there is a demonic vexation or oppression within the household, within loved ones, address it. And I really encourage this in the book. Do not just sweep it under the rug. Acknowledge it. Something is wrong here. This person isn't acting as they normally act. And so, something seems off. Of course, you know, discernment of spirits, really, it also requires a spiritual life of prayer. So prayer is really foundational. So getting back to what they can do, so you take a look at the situation and immediately pray. But a lot of parents aren't aware of parental authority. That authority is a very powerful gift from God that's given through the sacrament. And spouses have spousal authority, and they can pray for one another if a spouse senses or, you know, discovers that another spouse is viewing pornography and there's tension there. They can pray very powerfully against that with authority. And so if a person senses that, an individual senses that, you know, we're being attacked, and we are, the fiery darts of the enemy come against us many times during the day. In fact, in the book, I quote an exorcist, a very experienced one, who gave a conference to hundreds of people saying, God does not expect that we would simply endure, you know, the fiery darts of the enemy, hundreds of them that come at us during the day. We must stop and talk back. And how do we talk back to that? We talk back to that in the way that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was attacked in the desert. And he spoke back to those temptations of the evil one. He spoke back by quoting scripture. And so therefore, in the book, I give some scripture examples to have at the ready, memorize a few scriptures, get thee behind me, Satan, you know, that type of a thing, so that you can immediately address that temptation and speak back with the word of God. So I would say that, you know, you want to go right into action, prayer, and using your spiritual authority. That should suffice. If, you know, then more prayer, also sacraments. If that doesn't suffice, if something demonically oppressive continues, then it's time to reach out to your parish priest.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. There's plenty more to discuss. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be back with Kathleen Beckman to discuss more of her book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare. We'll be right back.
Are you married? I'd like to suggest that you often return to the fond and true memory of your spouse when you first met and on your wedding day. Well, he or she is still that same lovable person. Perhaps life has presented many challenges you did not expect back then, but you have come through these together. And the providential fire of your tribulations and your love has forged you into the one body you are today. And that is a beautiful thing. Never let anyone or any inferior thing tear you and your spouse asunder.
God is one with you. He is love. Your marriage is love. And love endures whatever comes. It does not come to an end.
See 1 Corinthians 13. I'm Jim Littleton of FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're spending it today with Kathleen Beckman, discussing her book, A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing. And Kathleen, in the book, you talk a lot about this, but there's a particular line in the second chapter where you point out that we are on a great stage where all heaven and earth are watching. And I think that's an important thing for us to remember and a point for us to drive home if you give us your thoughts on that a bit, because this battle is global. It stretches across the spiritual realm, and it's not just secluded to our small corner of the world, is it?
No, and thank you for that question. You know, that was the words of the Lord, actually, that he gave to Saint Faustina. When he was giving a retreat to Saint Faustina, he said, imagine that, Pete, imagine that the Lord was going to give you a three-day private retreat like he did St. Faustina, and he said, I want to teach you about spiritual warfare. And those words which you just said were his words to St. Faustina. And you think of how, you know, the divine mercy has spread across the nations. And what's in the book is really not only United States. Much of the stories and the cases that I share, because the book does have an appendix of real-life cases of families who went through the battle and how they endured that. But that comes from 13 different countries. So you're right. It is a global stage that we are in. Pardon me. So I really encourage families to have holy daring. I encourage them to be, you know, bold in proclaiming Christ's victory for one another. In the beginning of the book, I quote beautiful Saint Mother Teresa about finding our Calcutta in our own home, in our own family. And, you know, her words, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. So something profound is happening in the family. In fact, I quote the Holy Father when he said the devil does not want the family. And so, you know, we need families who will stand firm, who will not succumb, who will not settle for anything other than Christ's victory for one another, who will take great care to look at one another and to extend that love, affection, affirmation, and prayers for healing and for deliverance, because we all fall and we can get caught up. And, you know, in the book, I talk about how I struggled to forgive the murderer of my father-in-law and how important forgiveness is for healing the family. We all know what it's like to hold family grudges, and it's just not healthy. And so, you know, we want the family to be truly liberated from demonic attacks. And it takes holy daring to be very bold. As we learn in scriptures, in the chapter on holy daring, I talk about, you know, scriptures like how bold, you know, it was of Abraham, who was prepared to sacrifice his own son in obedience to the Lord, and how the Lord, of course, spared him, but that test became very fruitful. And so, you know, in the book, people will read how no matter how difficult your trial may be, no matter how demonic it may be, faith moves mountains, and by exercising your spiritual authority, baptismal, parental, and spousal, and by standing firm on the scriptures, together with the huge spiritual arsenal that is the Catholic Church, you have all the weapons for victory. And a lot of times, I think we just need to refocus on what's happening in the domestic church, because, you know, Pete, we live in a very distracted world, and we can all get caught up so that family members, spouses, and children are actually together very little and are each doing their own thing. But the family has such an importance in God's plan. And it is a time for the family, you know, to have a spotlight on it. Because as you say, we're on the great world stage. And if we can really purify and sanctify that what's going on in the domestic church, it's going to spill over in abundance to influencing the culture for good.
In your role in on exorcism teams and doing the facilitator and whatnot, with the current situation we're in the pandemic, and the shuttering of our churches, some of us states are lucky enough to be going back, some are not. Some folks are taking the dispensations as a free pass not to go. I know our diocesan exorcist has made the comment that demonic activity has increased hugely. What impact has the pandemic, in your eyes, in your field, had on demonic activity and the attacks that are out there?
I think I would agree very much with what your diocesan exorcist said, that we are seeing an increase in demonic attacks. And, you know, as I say in the book, evil spirits are bullies. And so whenever there is something challenging, as we have in the global pandemic right now, I mean, you know, the most prayerful among us still is facing something that is new. And there's so many unknowns, and, you know, we feel very vulnerable. And the churches were shuttered, and we had a long Eucharistic fast, and prayer lives were, maybe lessened, and fear abounded because there's so much unknown. And so I think that the enemy, he is never going to just stand back and not try to take advantage. And so I think that we see the enemy coming against fear and, you know, sickness. The enemy really tries to instill fear of death. And this spirit, this fear of death, can really rock a person's spirituality. And so in many ways, though, is what I say in the book, we must remember that God works all things for the good. So this pandemic can be a situation in which we can go downhill, or the opposite. We can actually, you know, see this as a challenge to pray more, not less, to have more faith, hope, and love, to care for the domestic church, for our loved ones, to shore up any open doors, or, you know, families have been brought together in the pandemic in a way that has forced us to look at one another and interact with one another. And it's an opportunity for us to love, affirm, encourage, you know, pray with our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. And in the book, and I don't want to give away a lot of it because people really should go out and get this book. You have it. It's packed full of what I'd call weapons to arm yourselves with. And after going through the book and intaking all the stuff that you have in there, it's worth talking about, I think. And I've often wondered, who should really be afraid here, us or the devil?
That's right. I mean, and that's the, I think it was Father Gabriel Amorth who said, and I quote him in the book, that in truth, the enemy fears, somebody who is united to Christ, somebody who is sacramentally united, somebody who really knows their identity as a soldier for Christ, someone who really understands that the gospel entails, that living the gospel entails spiritual warfare, and then therefore moves in fearlessness and is a fierce soldier for Christ using all of his weapons, you bet that the enemy then is afraid of that person. And I give several examples, but one that comes to mind from the book is Thérèse of Lisieux and that famous situation that she had where she saw how these demons that she had in a vision, that these demons were actually afraid of her. And as she stepped out, she made a step, the demon stepped back. And that's because of Christ in her. And so, Pete, with you and I and those, your listeners, you know, Christ in us is who the demon should see. And when we are sacramentalized and evangelized and, you know, we are really trying to walk with the Lord, then that Christ light is what goes, you know, wherever we go, and that is what the enemy is afraid of.
Mm-hmm. And another interesting facet of the book that you talk about, and you get into a specific prayer in the appendix, is, you know, we can be, I mean, all of us are sinners, we all have our faults, but we could be dealing with something demonic that's generational, that's not really our own doing, but it's the doing of our lineage. And that, to me, for a while, has kind of been a bit of a mystery of wrapping my mind around that. So could you go into that a bit for us as to what that is and how that happens?
You know, you're talking about generational curses.
Yes.
And so I like to make that distinction that it is generational curses specifically, because there's more consensus among exorcists that the generational curses have effects, especially when there are families that were loved ones, I should say, that were involved in things like Freemasonry, or families that were involved in, say, the drug world. Drug dealing, that kind of a thing, or the, impurity, this sexual, world where they're dealing with pornography or making it or promoting it, those kind of things. You know, they make a real pact with evil, and loved ones before us can do that. But there are specific curses, especially in Freemasonry, that are made unto several generations. And so that's not something to be afraid of, because that is the remedy that God provides, by is the provision to pray to remove generational curses. And I give a prayer that I have permission to quote from Father Chad Ripperger in the book, along with other prayers. So I also share in there about curses in the chapter on unmasking diabolical disguises, that the way that curses work. And I really appreciated that Father Fortea reminds us that anybody who does the cursing is first of all the one who will affect its negative impact, and then the person who asked for that curse to be done will secondly have the negative impact upon them. And then it is up to providence, up to God's, you know, will, whether he wants to protect the person from the curse altogether, which I think he does a majority of the time, and if he wants the person to endure a spiritual trial. In the book, I talked about how I was a victim of a curse and what happened to me, and how I wanted to share that it can happen to any one of us. Mm-hmm. It was a very easy thing to remedy through prayer, and that's my point, is that if you have, there are, it seems, within certain nationalities and cultures, there is a tendency of family members to curse their own family, to wish ill will toward somebody who's getting married. They don't like the spouse. This thing is more often, these kind of ill wishes are more prevalent than I think people are realizing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this book, I highly recommend people get it. It comes in at just over 300 pages. There's a lot here to digest. This is not something that you're going to read once and put back on the shelf either. I think there's a lot of reread value in this book. Kathleen, where can they find A Family Guide to Spiritual Warfare, Strategies for Deliverance and Healing?
I would encourage readers to support Sophia Institute Press, one of the leading Catholic publishers, www.sophiainstitute.com. And they're selling it at the same price at Amazon.com. So it is on Amazon. It's available in a Kindle form. But for the same price, you can support Sophia Institute Press at SophiaInstitute.com.
I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, Kathleen, and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
I want to encourage your listeners, Pete, to fear not, to engage in holy daring. The book is really meant to empower people and to encourage you to take up the weapons that God has given us, to put on the armor of God on your loved ones, and really invite you to the freedom of living as a child of God.
And with that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger. Until next time, God bless.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.